Hey, y'all, it's A&AMMA, the Biggest Losers.
Yeah, we suck butt.
And Sal is tonight's Biggest Loser, along with Monty.
we suck butt.
Yeah, I want to apologize to anyone that took our advice on betting last week.
Hey, you win some, you lose some, right?
That's all I have to say. I apologize. A lot of the things that we thought would happen did not happen and did not go our way.
No. You win some, you lose some, man.
Hopefully you didn't lose as much as us.
Like, hey, bro, are you sure about, are you confident? Like, bro, it's a fight. Anybody can win. Like,
it is what it is.
Yeah. But nonetheless, A&A MMA is back and at 'em with your news, previews, and reviews, you guys already know. So, Slim told me before we started that he's excited to let you guys know about all the new fight announcements. So, let's get into it, Slim. You ready for that?
Oh, I'm ready. There's right, quite a lot.
All right. All the new fight announcements for July, I believe, all the way up to like June, or is there none for June yet?
Like July through August.
Through August too? All right.
We're in June, bud.
Yeah, I said like June, July.
No, you said July through June. Anyway, all right. Shit, it goes all the way to August. So, and Monty, I don't think you know most of these, do you?
What? I mean, you send me most of them. All right. And I see a lot.
So, Rafael Pessoa will fight Justin Taffa on July 25th.
Didn't hear that one.
Rafael, that's a good one. Rafael Pessoa versus Justin Taffa?
Yeah, I like that one. Pessoa, I feel like if he can get Taffa to the ground, yikes.
Sure. Davi Hamosh versus Arman Tsarukyan.
What? Yeah, when's the last time Tsarukyan fought?
I don't even know.
Damn, I feel like it's been a while since we've seen him. That's a good one.
Right. Mavsar
Evloev?
Yes, versus Mike Grundy.
Oh, wow. That's a big striker versus wrestler matchup.
Yeah. This one should be good. Vinicius Moreira will fight Modestus Bukakuskas.
Bukaki who?
Bukakuskas. Bukauskas.
Slips a bukkake on
bukkake sauce. Oh, and if you didn't know, Monty is Slim level of drunk
already. Is that the
already.
Name of this episode?
The bukkake sauce? Can we post that? I don't know. Okay. I believe he was a Cage Warriors champ or something like that.
I don't know, dude. I can't even think right now. That's fucking stupid.
All right. Molly McCann will fight Talia Santos.
That's a big matchup for both of them.
I can't even read these names, honestly. I think they're both not in the UFC. Alexander Das Kalchuk will fight Tajir Ulambakov.
When?
Abu Dhabi, July 15th. Oh, Fight Island is actually on Yas Island in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. It's not even really an island. It's just like off the coast, like barely.
Yeah. It's just like in the United Arab Emirates, pretty much, which is it falls into Abu Dhabi's territory. But yeah, it's just a little tiny island. And I saw a build for it, and it looks dope. The inside looks crazy.
And I guess the octagon is on the beach, so that's cool. So this one took me for a shock. I didn't think they'd bring this dude back, but Abdul Razak Al Hassan will also fight on July 15th against Monir Lazez.
Wow, that's huge, bro. He beat that freaking rape charge. Like, there was all that controversy.
Yep, he's back.
And he beat it, and they brought him back. That's amazing. Great for him, dude.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Honestly. I'm happy. Right. Sergey Spivak will fight Carlos Felipe on July 18th.
Okay, that's a good matchup. Carlos Felipe, that's kind of a step up for him and a step down for Spivak, because Spivak's fought a lot of good competition.
Yeah. Kadys Ibragimov will fight Roman Doledz. I think he's also making his debut.
Yeah, that's his debut. But Kadys Ibragimov's a beast.
Yeah. Minoke Inoue will fight Amanda Lemos on August
22nd. Minoke
Inoue! Inoue! Holian Paiva will fight Zalgas Zumagulov in Abu Dhabi. I believe he's a...
Are you making these up or what?
No. There are so many Russians coming down, dude.
Just making sure.
This one's big. Luis Pena will fight Kama Worthy on June 27th.
Yeah, that one's... Wow.
Yeah.
Bro, if Kama Worthy has wins over Devontae Smith and Luis Pena, like, ooh. Wow.
That's a skyrocket to the top. Shit.
Yeah.
This one happening this weekend, actually. So Ryan Benoit is out. So Tyson Nam will now fight newcomer Zaruk Adashev.
His record's like 3-1, right?
Yeah. Mike Perry's going to fight Mickey Gall on June 27th.
That's huge. So that's, I love that.
That's pretty crazy. This one's going to be cool. Jim Miller will fight Roosevelt Roberts June 20th.
Oh, God. Roosevelt Roberts is about to fuck him up.
Yeah. Mark Diakasey versus Alan Patrick on July 18th.
I feel like we haven't seen Alan Patrick in a while.
Right. It was announced Stipe Miocic will be fighting Daniel Cormier for the trilogy on August 15th, and that will be on Fight Island.
So crazy.
Peter Yan will fight Jose Aldo.
Piotr.
Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway, the rematch, and Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns will all be UFC 251 on Fight Island July 11th.
In one night, that is automatically contender for card of the year for an A&E.
Yeah, how about Gilbert Burns, dude? Everyone was counting him out. Everyone I saw on like media is like, Gilbert can't hop the line over Masvidal and Leon Edwards. Really? Because he took out the number one contender in Woodley, like, in demolishing fashion. Also, he's calling all the shots. So apparently they could not get the deal done with Jorge because they were giving him half the money he made to fight Diaz, and he wasn't taking that. He's like, no, give me my full money or I'm not doing it. I'm the draw here. And of course Gilbert is like, I'll take the title shot, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good for Jorge for knowing what he's worth. I mean, he's the money fight, like he said. So
yeah, honestly.
I don't think he's really too worried about a title at this point, Jorge.
Right. All right, a few more here. Clay Guida will fight Bobby Green on June 20th.
All right, a little comeback fight for both of them.
Ian Heinisch versus Brennan Allen making the big comeback. Quick turnaround on June 27th.
Wow.
Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana on August 1st. Okay. If Irene can get past Holly, I think she's number one contender.
Oh, 100%. She has to get a title shot after that if she beats Holly.
Yeah. Derek Brunson versus Edmund Shabazian.
Wow.
Love that. All right, so this one was announced, and I actually had to look this dude up. Volkan Ozdemir will fight Jiří Procházka.
Sure, I mean.
But anyway, this dude, I think he's from Ryzen. I can't remember, but he's got like 26 wins and 23 finishes, like something crazy.
Yeah, he's a straight knockout artist. He's got crazy power, so that's gonna be a fucking crazy striking matchup between two European powerhouses.
Yeah. Hannah Cypher is making a super quick turnaround. Is fighting Mariah Agapova this weekend.
Yeah, Maria Agapova is a good matchup. Hannah Cypher's at this point, I feel like she's on her Angie Overkill Hill shit.
Right.
She's like, I'll fight anybody anytime.
Right. Let me see if I got anything else. I think that's it.
All right.
Yeah, a ton of shit got announced in the last couple of days. So, oh no, there's more. All right. Actually, did we talk about?
Hold on. Time out. Mirab Dvalishvili will now. Ray Borg's out. Mirab Dvalishvili will now face Gustavo Lopez at a 140-pound catch weight this Saturday.
Damn. Is that breaking?
That's, like, super breaking.
Shit.
Like, just now.
I don't got stats on that dude.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. Yikes.
Mauricio Shogunhua will fight Minotauro Nogueira.
Oh, yeah.
On July 25th.
Awesome legendary matchup.
The headliner, Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till.
Wow.
Love it. Okay, now I think that's it.
Cool. All right.
Oh, last one. Austin Hubbard versus Joe Selecki.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
I like that one. Damn. I don't. Gustavo Lopez.
I already got his shit up.
All right, cool.
All right, so this past weekend we had UFC 250, the first pay-per-view of the quarantine. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Hi.
I'm doing my podcast.
Hi. Yeah, I don't know. Did they do one last month or did? Oh yeah, fucking Justin Gaethje and Khabib and.
Oh yeah,
duh. All right, well let's take it from the bottom. I thought it was a super good card. I had a lot of fun in watching these fights. A lot of things happened that we thought would happen. A lot of things happened that we didn't see coming a mile away.
No,
not at all. So in the very first fight of the night. We had Evan Dunham taking on The Blaze, Herbert Burns, with Gilbert in his corner after getting that crazy win over Tyron Woodley the previous week. We knew Gilbert was going to come out with some ferocity, and my God, Evan didn't stand a chance.
No, dude. I mean, like we said last week, Evan Dunham is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and I was telling you guys, I was really excited to see if this fight did go to the ground. It did immediately after Herbert Burns got a nice strip takedown. What, you can't hear me?
No, you're good.
Oh, yeah, he got a nice, Herbert Burns got a nice trip takedown. Immediately got the back of Evan Dunham. It took him two attempts to get that rear naked choke, but after he got that second one and sunk it in, it was over for Evan Dunham. And Gilbert knew there was a funny, like, view on that UFC posted where they were, like, right behind Gilbert. And as soon as Herbert locked it up, he was like, it's over! It's over! Like, he knew. So, bro, Herbert is the truth. Yeah. I mean, with wins right now over Nate Landwehr and Evan Dunham, I mean, so far, he has been extremely impressive in the UFC.
Yeah, and in like this...
A crazy knockout win and now a submission win over a black belt?
Right. Wow. For both first rounds. And in this fight, only a combined 12 strikes landed for both guys.
Wow. Yeah, dude. Herbert Burns is a problem. Whether it's in the featherweight division, I feel like he can go down to, or the lightweight division. I mean, that submission game with that dangerous striking, it's just like Gilbert, man.
Yeah, he's there.
He can hang with anybody on the feet, and then if it goes to the ground, you're in trouble.
Oh, I just wish he was younger at this point. See,
he's what, like 32? He is the younger brother, but
yeah. Anyways, Herbert Burns is now 11-2 overall, 2-0 in the UFC, and he has earned 8 of his 9 career stoppage victories by submission. And then Evan Dunham is now 18-9-1 overall, 11-9-1 in the UFC, and he is on a 4-fight losing streak, which is the longest of his career. He hasn't won since September of 2016, and that was just the second submission loss of Evan Dunham's career. He hasn't been submitted in more than 6 years.
Oh, wow. 10 fights. Damn.
Yeah, so Evan Dunham, a tough comeback fight for him, but Herbert Burns just continues to tear up the UFC, coming in here and making a big name for himself, just showing you that he's not just Gilbert Burns' little brother. He's something to watch out for. So
sure, sure.
He locked up a rear naked choke 1 minute and 20 seconds into the very first round. Herbert Burns defeated Evan Dunham, and that moves Slim and I to 1-0 on the night.
And we take a L right away. So this one is one of the ones that we thought for sure would go our way. It was not.
I'm pretty sure you said if you had to call one, it'd be this one, right? Or no, I think it was Chase Hooper, maybe. It was one of those.
One of those. So, Alonzo Menifield taking on Devin Brown Bear Clark. Alonzo Menifield, nothing but domination in his UFC run until he ran into Devin Clark.
So, I had a feeling that this fight could go this way. I felt like if Alonzo wasn't able to get the stoppage in the first round, I mean, we've seen Devin uses his wrestling, dude. I mean, he's not afraid to clinch with you and just use pressure and wrestling to get the win by decision. And this is exactly what we saw him do in this one.
Yeah, he's very strong. Like, scary strong.
If Alonzo didn't get the first round knockout, I figured that Devin Clark could very possibly end up squeaking out the next two rounds with just purely his wrestling. But he used a lot of volume with his striking, too. I'm pretty sure he landed, like, almost triple the amount of strikes that Alonzo Menifield landed.
150 to 54.
Yeah. Just an absolutely impressive performance by Devin Clark, showing that endurance sometimes is all you need to win that fight. Alonzo Menifield poured it all out in that first round, and then after that, Devin Clark just took over. I agreed with the 29-28. One judge had it 30-27. The two other ones had it 29-28. I definitely agree with the 29-28s. That was a tough one to call. I did think Menifield would get that first round knockout, but yeah, all the credit to Devin Clark for a great game plan to get that win.
Yeah, Devin's been working on his hands. This was a very clinch heavy fight, and we thought Alonzo Menifield would win do better in close, but man, Clark was rocking Menifield the whole time.
Yeah, for sure. He was like in close, he was landing really, really good shots. And I mean, Devin Clark, man, he's sneaky good. He's 12-4 overall. Yet he now has a 6-4 record in the UFC. 10 UFC fights, dude. I mean, that's so valuable. Right. And he's fought really, really good fighters.
Sure.
And he has now earned consecutive victory in his UFC career. He's alternated wins and losses over his past 9 appearances.
Oh, wow.
And he has earned all 6 of his UFC victories by decision. So we know how he likes getting it done. Alonzo Menifield, on the other hand, 9-1 overall.
So you said Alonzo Menifield 9-1 overall.
Oh, yeah. Talk.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. 2-1 in the UFC. Yeah, who gives a fuck? Let's move on to the next one. Me and Slim are 1-1 on the night.
All right. So next one, yeah, Juicy F Omega taking on Alex Perez. I actually, in a lot of the in my own betting thing, I picked UC Formiga to get a first round finish because I thought, you know, if he gets that takedown, man, you're in trouble when you go to the ground with him. However, Alex Perez, dude, with the leg kicks, holy mackerel. Yeah. We got our second leg kick stoppage in 2 consecutive weeks.
Yeah, what are the odds of that, dude? That shit's wild.
Crazy.
But Alex Perez just showed, I mean, he has really good takedown defense. I knew that. I knew if he does get, like, stuck on the ground for too long, he can be submitted. But he's an explosive flyweight. He can break out of shit very easily. And he just showed his striking is just so crazy, dude. Those leg kicks were vicious. It only took him 1 round. Remember last week it took Chris Gutierrez
3 rounds.
2 rounds.
Or was it 2?
No, it was only 2. Yeah, to get that leg kick knockout. Alex Perez did it in 4 minutes against Juicy F. Omega, dude.
Actually,
just
how many
leg kicks.
He only landed 15 of them, too.
Whew. Man, yeah. Absolutely efficient striking by Alex Perez. Went in there, got it done versus Juicy F. Omega. Like I said, 4 minutes, 6 seconds into the very first round. Alex Perez defeating Juicy F. Omega. So Perez's record improves to 24-5 overall. He's now 6-1 in the UFC, 4 of his 6 UFC victories by stoppage, and that was the 12th finish in UFC history stemming from leg kicks. And then Juicy F. Omega, he's now 23-8 overall, 9-7 in the UFC. He's on a 3-fight losing streak, hasn't won since March of last year, and he has suffered all 4 of his UFC stoppage losses by knockout.
Oof. Big old oof.
So that moved Slim and I to a cool 2-1 on the night. That was your early preliminary card. You could watch that on ESPN, UFC Fight Pass, ESPN Plus, all that good stuff. And now we move on to the preliminary card, which is also on ESPN or ESPN Plus. Moving on to the middleweight division.
Yeah, we had Charles Byrd going up against Maki Pitolo. This one didn't go how we thought it would at all. Like, not even an iota of what we thought would happen.
I don't know what that word means, but yeah, Charles Bird. Very small mouth. Come in. Oh, okay. I thought he would come in and use some slick striking. Just a terrible night for Fortis MMA. Alonzo Menafield and Charles Bird just coming in and having rough outings, honestly. Because Maki Patolo pieced Charles Bird up.
From bell to bell.
He was hitting him with body shots, came up top and just had Charles Bird in a shell, just curled up, and he finished it, dude.
And he got three takedowns.
Yeah, all credit to Maki. And, like, he had one that was, like, a big slam. Like, he double-legged him and picked him up and slammed him.
Right.
He also got taken down himself that way, but still, I was impressed. But, yeah, I mean, Slim and I were kind of lightly sleeping on Maki Patolo. Like we said, he had a rough UFC's Dana White's Contender Series debut. Like, he only won by decision. It was a tough fight. And then when he came in and lost to Callum Potter, we were kind of like, you know, that kind of scared us away from him. But this performance really, really, really impressed me. Obviously, out of those three fights, the most impressive we've seen out of Maki Patolo.
For sure. 100%. He throws them bombs.
Yeah, for sure. Just a really, really disappointing performance by Charles Bird. Like I said, a really rough night for Fortis MMA. They go 0-2 on the night with some of their brightest prospects just taking tough L's. So that moves Maki Patolo to 13-5 overall. He's 1-1 in the UFC. And then Charles Bird, his record's now 10-7 overall, 1-3 in the UFC. He's on a 3-fight losing streak. Hasn't won since March of 2018. Mm. And all three of his UFC losses are by knockout.
Damn.
Not good, dude. Bad look.
Real bad look.
Hopefully he comes back, though. I do think he's talented. He's just got a...
Yeah, I said it last week. Like, he doesn't live up to his potential.
Yeah, he just has to not curl up when he starts getting hit, man. He has to start swinging. I mean, when he starts getting tagged up, he just goes into the shell and doesn't come out.
Right.
Anyways, that moves Slim and I to 2-2 on the night. We move to the featherweight division.
In our first disagreement, I thought this was a bantamweight, and that's why I picked Brian Kelleher, but he was facing Cody Stammen at featherweight, and this was Brian Kelleher's quick turnaround. I believe he just fought, 2 weeks prior or something like that? And this is Cody Stammen's featherweight debut in the UFC, at least. Dude, he looked big.
Bro, he's always been, like, extremely muscly dude.
Yeah, but this is, like, the best we've seen him.
Oh, for sure. Maybe he's a natural featherweight.
I'm telling you. No. He reminded me of, like, a little Chad Mendes.
Has he... Oh yeah, he's fought at featherweight fought at featherweight several times, yeah, through his career. So,
Well, not in the UFC though, right?
Not in the UFC, no.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, like I said, I think he reminded me of like a young Chad Mendes with better hands.
Yeah, I mean, he looked extremely slick, dude. Of course, he had some emotional stuff going on with the sudden death of his 18-year-old brother that happened a couple days before the fight happened. I mean,
right.
He had a lot on his plate, man, and he came out, he looked inspired, and he fought one of the best fights we've seen him fight in the UFC. Yeah. One of his best performances. Because Brian Kelleher is no pushover. I mean, we've seen he's got crazy power. His last two fights, he was the underdog, and he came out and performed. But Cody Stammen, man, that wrestling and that, I mean, he's got good striking too, but that wrestling is just something else, man. That power he brings is serious.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just a great performance by Cody Stammen. He mixed up the strikes not as well as Brian, but was just landing to Brian's head at will. He outlanded Brian 113-64.
That's wild.
It was wild. Yeah.
Anyways, Cody Stammen defeats Brian Kelleher. All judges had it 30-27s across the board. Brian Kelleher now 21-11 overall, 5-4 in the UFC. He suffered his first decision loss since September 21st of 2013. That is nearly 7 years and 18 fights.
Wow.
And then Cody Stammen, 19-2-1 overall, 5-1-1 in the UFC. All five of his UFC victories have came by decision.
Mm.
So that moves me to 3-2 on the night. And Slim goes to 2-3.
Oh. Yuck. Let's take it even further. We had Ian Heinisch going up against Gerald Mearshart. Ian Heinisch, what was his last fight before this?
He had a big victory over, or I'm sorry, he lost against Omari Akhmedov and Derek Brunson.
That's right.
His last win was versus Antonio Carlos Jr.
That's right. So we were thinking Gerald Mearshart might be able to come in here and sneak one out. My God. Wrong.
Dude. Well, we thought Gerald Mearshart would, if he was going to win, he was going to get a submission like he usually does.
Right.
But Ian Heinisch came in just
whopped on him.
Just overpowered Gerald Mearshart. It only took him a minute, less than a minute and a half,
right,
to just go in there and whop on Gerald Mearshart. I think this was also Ian Heinisch's best performance of his UFC career.
For sure. And like I said, he just decided, like, well, I'm in Vegas, I might as well stick around and fight again, because he got it done in, what, a minute 13 seconds?
So, yeah, a minute 14 seconds, super quick. So now, like you said, he's going to just make a super quick turnaround, which rightfully so. If you're feeling it, go for it, man.
Right.
If you're healthy, you got to do it. So I think if he keeps doing stuff like this, keeps it up. I mean, he's got great stamina too. We know he's a wrestler. We know he trains at altitude. So yeah, if he can keep up these quick finishes, dude, he might tear his way up through the top 15.
Well, he was already 13, so now he's fighting another unranked opponent, but still.
Still, like, I mean, those are wins you need, dude.
Exactly.
Be staying active. That's all that matters, yeah, getting those wins.
Keep your name in the ring.
Right. So Ian Heinisch defeated Gerald Mearshart 1 minute 14 seconds into the very first round via TKO.
We're seeing that so much more often.
What?
Since everyone's, like, at the PI and with the Apex and stuff, the fighters are just like, give me another fight. Like,
oh, yeah.
A week later, yeah. 2 weeks later, whatever.
With this quarantine stuff, bro, everybody's just bored, like, everybody's being able to do what they want to do, so I feel like they're just like, man, let me fight. If I get a quick finish, let me go again. Like,
right, might as well. Fuck it.
Right, exactly. But Gerald Mearshart, his record drops to 30-13 overall, 6-5 in the UFC. He suffered 10 of his 13 career stoppages, or I'm sorry, career losses by stoppage. That's what I meant to say. Ian Heinisch, on the other hand, is now 14-3 overall with a 3-2 record in the UFC. And that moves Slim to 2-4 on the night and me to 3-3.
Yuck.
Gets even worse.
Oh, yeah.
The preliminary card headliner, one we were so sure about.
Yeah, we had the young, the dream, Chase Hooper, taking on the Karate Man, Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres, and Chase Hooper decided to keep the fight standing for 15 minutes.
Bro,
with Alex Caceres?
He's got to work on his takedowns so bad, bro.
He had only attempted two.
Takedowns. He can't, like, shoot and get takedowns.
But, dude, get him against the fence, like, bro. Because we've seen Alex Caceres be so, like, wishy-washy in the past. We were like, okay, Chase Hooper's for sure going to come in here, take him down and get the quick finish. Alex Caceres said, no, no, no. He actually got a takedown of his own.
Oh, yeah.
And just absolutely crushed Chase Hooper on the feet. I mean, it was
destroying
ugly.
Him.
It was ugly.
Taking him apart.
Chase
dude.
Hooper has no Chase defense. Hooper,
his striking is so bad.
You even heard Joe Rogan on the commentary be like, I don't know, this kid might be too young for this. He might need to go back to the regional scene. And it was like, damn.
I mean, yeah, dude, that's how bad his striking is. Seriously, like, when you see it, you're like, wow, he's not ready.
I feel like I got better hands than Chase Hooper. Jesus.
It's bad. Like, all he does is throw 1-2s. Literally, 1-2, 1-2.
And then, like, he gets hit, and he's just like, oh!
Right.
Like Brock Lesnar.
It's tough, but nonetheless, a great performance by Bruce Leroy. I mean, a much-needed win for him. He's been good lately. Is that two wins in a row for him now?
I'm not sure.
Let me see here. Bruce Leroy has now, yeah, he beat Steven Peterson and then Chase Hooper. So that's the first time in a while since 2016 he's won two fights in a row. Good for Bruce Leroy.
Right.
And then Alex Caceres is now 16-12 overall, 11-10 in the UFC. He's improved to 6-4 since he came back to the UFC featherweight division in January of 2015, and he has earned 8 of his 11 UFC victories by decision. Chase Hooper, on the other hand, just like me and Slim said, a really underwhelming performance. Really needs to work on those hands. Really needs to work on those takedowns. That's all you can say about that. So that moves Slim to 2-5 on the night, and I'm 3-4. Fucking awesome. But we get one back here. Moving on to the main card. Shit got really exciting immediately. And how can it not with a man like Sean O'Malley in there when he was going up against Eddie Wineland?
Who calls his shot. Said he was going to get a first-round knockout. My God, did he. A nice...
Young Babe Ruth.
Yeah. A nice little... he did like a faint uppercut. And then just came right over the top. Boom. Straight right.
Thanks. Yeah.
God, Sean O'Malley is so talented. And what's crazy is that, like, most people, when they take, like, 2 years off, like, I'm anxious to see what TJ Dillashaw is doing in this during this, his 2 years off, you know? But Sean right. O'Malley took 2 years off and got better.
So much better.
Like way better.
I mean, he was already good before, but now he, like, looks untouchable. His last two fights, he hasn't been touched.
No. And he was winning decisions before, but now he's finishing.
Like, quick.
Yeah. Two first-round knockouts for Sean O'Malley in 2020. My
yeah,
God.
Like, walk, like, easy, like, super easy knockouts. Like,
when you can, anytime you do a walk-off KO, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, he knew as soon as he hit Eddie Wineland, man. It was a one-hitter quitter. A minute and 54 seconds in the very first round. He's the money fight. He's the man. Yeah. O'Malley is one of the biggest names right now.
Yeah. I mean, especially as he came in with the rainbow hair. He said he got the idea from 6ix9ine. But whatever. It had people talking about it. Props to you.
Yeah. That's some shit O'Malley would do.
Right.
So O'Malley improves his record now to 12-0 overall, 4-0 in the UFC. His four-fight UFC winning streak at bantamweight is tied for the fourth longest active streak in the division behind Piotr Jan. Wait, didn't she... Did Chito lose in a different... weight division?
I don't know what his last fight was, but he just lost.
Yeah. Was it in a against Song Yudong? Was that in a different division? Anyways, and
That might have been featherweight.
Okay, yeah. Well, if it is in bantamweight division, then yeah, Marlon Vera's 5 and Aljamain Sterling's 5.
Wait, Sean's on 5?
No, he's behind them.
Oh, gotcha.
Sterling and Vera are on 5. Gotcha. Piotr Jan's on 6. O'Malley's on 4.
Okay.
And then on the other hand, Eddie Wineland, now 24-14 overall. I don't have his UFC record. Don't care to look it up.
It was funny how they were hyping Eddie Wineland. I was like, yo, he was a former champ in WEC. And I'm like, bro, that was like 12 years ago. Like, what?
Yeah. That's before we were born.
Right. props so, to him Sean for the mustache, O'Malley. Though. Fuck with the mustache.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sean O'Malley brings my record to 4-4 on the night. Slim is 3-5.
Hey, all right.
And we move on to the welterweight division.
Where we take another L. We had Neil Magny going up against Anthony Rocco Martin. I always want to call him Antonio for some reason. dude, I knew I should have picked Magny. Magny just always finds a way to get it done. And this is exactly what he did in this fight.
He's just one of those fighters who can just go anywhere on. He can go to the ground. He can just strike with you. I mean, he can just get it done anyway. He's got crazy cardio. So I knew this was going to be a tough fight. I thought Anthony Rocco Martin was just on such a good streak that he'd be able to sneak this one out. But like we said, man, Neil Magny, he's just all around so good. He can just hang with anybody, like... He struggles against the best of the best, but when it comes to these people who are trying to up and come through the top 15, man, Neil Magny just holds his ground, man. He really does.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if at one point, man, he puts a streak together and goes for another title. I mean, that's how good Neil Magny is.
He might as well. I'm shocked he's not ranked right now.
Right.
Or is he?
And he's 16-6 in the UFC, Slim. 23-7 overall.
Well, he's 15. He's ranked 15 now. But he was hovering around that top 10 like for a while.
Yeah. His 16 victories in the UFC welterweight division are tied with Matt Hughes for second most in divisional history, behind GSP's 19 for most.
Damn.
Yeah, and then Anthony Rocco Martin, 17-6 overall, 9-6 in the UFC. He's 5-2 since he returned to the welterweight division, 6-2 in that weight class overall, and he has suffered 4 of his 6 career losses by decision.
I do want to say, no shout out to Sunil Magny's hairline. Get that man some Propecia.
Oh, don't do him like that.
Get that man some Propecia.
Oh, don't do him like that.
He came on national television looking like that.
Oh, Slim, why'd you have... I mean, it was looking bad. That was.
I can't talk because I got fucking scalped like a couple hours ago.
I gotta admit, that was his worst hairline performance yet.
Look at this.
No, I can look in the mirror and see what you're
writing. No, dude messed me up on the side here.
Yeah, yours will come back, so shut up.
Yeah. My dad just told me no bald jokes. He said yours will come back, shut up.
That's funny. That moves my record to 4-5 on the night. Slim is 3-6.
You don't gotta keep saying it, you know.
Yeah, whatever. It gets better from here. Well, actually it gets worse for you, sorry.
Yeah. So going on this next fight, we had Aljamain Sterling going the Fung Master, going up against Corey Sandhagen. Two of the brightest prospects in the bantamweight division.
Like what I tell you guys last week, Aljamain's grappling is too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. The wrestling, too much. The jiu-jitsu, too much.
He's got it like that, man. I mean, that was like a crazy performance for Aljamain. Not only was it fast, but he's coming off it like a hand surgery. He said like for a while he couldn't even like make a grip. So the fact that he could just come out here and like get back to where he needs to be and just choke out Corey Sandhagen like that in a minute and a half? Quick.
So quick.
Come on, dude. It only took him... He only landed 10 strikes, and it says he got 0 takedowns, but he had to have. I was blown away. I thought this was going to be a back-and-forth stand-up fight. I knew Aljamain was going to be wrestling heavy, but I didn't think... I knew Corey had bad takedown defense, but I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Right. I mean, dude, like I told you, Aljamain is just something else right now. I swear he's really on the top of his game. Like, he suffered that knockout loss, and since then, he's just been on a different level, really.
Yeah.
His striking, I mean, everything. Like, just his entire game overall is just something else, because he's striking so well at the same time.
Right.
Right. Corey Sandhagen now drops to 12-2 overall, 5-1 in the UFC. And then Aljamain Sterling, on the other hand, 19-3 overall, 11-3 in the UFC. He's on a 5-fight winning streak, which is tied with Marlon Vera for second behind Piotr Jan. I mentioned that to you guys earlier. And his 10 victories in the UFC bantamweight division are fourth most in divisional history, behind TJ Dillashaw's 12, Faber and Austin Sao's 11, making him third. And then his 4 submission victories in UFC bantamweight division history are third most behind Uriah Faber's 6 and Ronnie Yaya's 5.
So for whatever reason, neither fighter moved any spots in the rankings, but I think Aljamain needs to get that number 1 spot because he is next for the belt.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Aljamain has to fight the winner of Piotr Jan versus Jose Aldo.
Aljamain was already ranked higher than Piotr Jan.
Yeah. No, Jose has to fight the winner of that championship fight. No questions asked.
Yeah.
That's all he should settle for.
You said Jose has to fight. Like Jose is going to win.
Jose might win.
Dang.
Oh.
I don't know. That's a... I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one for real.
All right. Well, that takes Slim to, like, bro, like, I don't know. Your record's terrible.
It's bad.
Let's go on to the next one.
But anyway, on to the co-main event. Everyone's wondering why this was the co-main event. Why are these two guys fighting in the co-main event? Why wasn't there the fight before? Well, Cody Garbrandt showed us why.
The former champ.
The former champ. No love. Took on Rafael Assuncao and been training with Mark Henry. Like I said, I was so excited to see how Cody was going to be. coming off this, dude, his footwork, amazing. His speed, amazing. His precision, on point. And he's still got that knockout power.
Bro, I can't believe he threw that like that.
Oh, my
God. And I called it. Didn't I call it before he was
Yeah, you're like, he's gonna throw a big punch here.
No, he was sitting there loading it. I said, throw it. Throw it then.
Yeah.
And he literally just came up and yank-yonked him into another dimension, bro.
Oh, that was so nasty.
I'm putting that right now as an early candidate for A&Amy knockout of the year.
Yeah.
I have to.
It was just so violent.
The way he just like hung on the fence a little bit was just so cool, bro. Like,
yeah, it was so violent.
Such a highlight. Such a highlight reel knockout.
Like Sunsao was out.
Like, oh, no, he couldn't get on the stool like 2 minutes after he got knocked out.
Right. He was done. And I don't think a Sunsao has been finished since like 2012.
Something like that, like 2014.
Yeah. So big, big win for Cody Garbrandt. Put himself right back in the title picture. I don't think he'll get a shot yet. I think he at least needs one more, maybe two. People started asking Sean O'Malley, like, oh, would you fight Garbrandt? I don't think that's in the cards.
Why not?
Because you just took out the number 5 ranked bantamweight. Why would you go back and fight the number 15 ranked?
O'Malley's the biggest name.
True. But I would like to see Cody face Marlon.
And Cody might really think he can beat Sean. Like, he might think that might be one of the easiest fights for him.
Yeah, in his mind. But I think Sean beats him.
Really? I might take Cody in that one.
Maybe. I don't know. I think Sean's got more effective footwork than Dominic Cruz did. Like, I think Sean would be harder to prepare for. But I think Cody should fight Marlon for the next title shot after Aljamain gets his.
That'd be a good matchup. I like that.
Because Marlon's just kind of sitting, chilling, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he doesn't have anything planned right now.
No.
Rafael Asensio moves to 27-8 overall, 11-5 in the UFC, on a 3-fight losing streak. Not so good. Hasn't won since July of 2018. 11-4 since he dropped to that UFC bantamweight division in 2011. And oh my gosh, it was 2011, Slim, since the last time he was knocked out. More than 9 years and 15 fights.
Damn.
Cody Garbrandt, 12-3 overall, 7-3 in the UFC, snapped his 3-fight losing streak. His 4 knockout victories in the bantamweight division are tied for 3rd most in divisional history behind Eddie Weiland's 8 and TJ Dillashaw's 7. And Cody Garbrandt's 9 knockdowns landed in the UFC bantamweight division are tied with TJ Dillashaw for most in divisional history.
Wow.
So, yeah, me and Slim needed that one, and we got it. Shout out to the hometown kid, Cody Garbrandt, repping Ohio.
Yes, sir, and I hope he stays with Mark Henry. Please!
Oh, he has to. After that performance, he has to.
Please!
And moving on to the main event. Amanda Nunes won, like we told you guys, 50-44.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't see anyone beating Amanda Nunes anytime soon.
That's the GOAT, bro. The only person I want to see Amanda Nunes fight at this point is Valentina.
I don't even want to see that. She beat her twice. What's the point?
She won by split decision, though. I mean, Valentina's the closest.
Yeah. But in this fight, Amanda looked like she was just sparring in practice. She used Felicia Spencer as a sparring partner. She was able to land any strike she wanted at will. She landed 6 of her 7 takedown attempts and just mixed it up perfectly. She landed 21 to the leg, 13 to the body, and 90 to the head.
Ugh.
Props to Felicia Spencer, though. I mean,
we said she was going to go all 5
rounds. Yeah, I called that at least. But, dude, she can take a beating. She just went 10 rounds with Cyborg and Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, that's so valuable.
That's crazy.
And she's still young. Like, if Amanda Nunes loses, Felicia Spencer has a lot of fucking ways to become the champion.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely like, nuts. I mean, if Amanda drops that belt, I could see Felicia being champ one day.
Yeah, 100%.
But God, do I wish they would have made that Cyborg rematch.
Same.
That's the only one testing Amanda at this point, honestly.
I wish that too.
I mean, we said Irene Aldana, if she beats Holly Holm, she gets the next title shot, sure. However, Amanda's wife,
Nina Ansaroff.
Yes, is pregnant. She's like 6 months in. Dude, did you see the countdown videos?
No.
She was like hitting mitts and shit. And like running on the elliptical right next to Amanda. I was like, yo.
Yeah, she ain't playing. That's going to be a fit baby.
Yeah, it is. I wonder who's the donor.
Yoel Romero, bro.
Could you imagine?
I know.
Francis Ngannou.
Oh, wow.
Who's fucking with that kid?
Nobody. Especially if they...
My moms will beat your ass. Like, yo.
Yeah, and my donor dad.
God. I wonder if they just went to a bank, like, yo, give me someone tall, or like.
All right, we're taking it too far.
How did that? I'm so curious. How did it happen?
His face. He said, "Oh."
Also, I'm curious. Is it Amanda's DNA or is it Nina's?
Well, if they used Amanda's and Yoel's, yeah,
superhuman.
Yeah, that's the best baby of all time.
Boy or girl.
Yeah, no matter what.
Superhuman. But
Amanda Nunes, though, she's 20-4 now. Felicia Spencer's 8-2. Amanda Nunes, the first in UFC history to record title defenses in two divisions while simultaneously holding multiple belts. Her 8 victories in UFC title fights are tied with Jose Aldo for most in company history, behind John Jones 14 and Anderson Silva's 11. Her 8 victories in women's UFC title fights are most in company history. She's on an 11-fight UFC winning streak, which is second longest among active fighters, only behind Khabib's 12. That 11-fight winning streak also, of course, most in women's divisional or women's MMA UFC history. Just crazy.
Yeah.
She's the best. And Felicia Spencer, now both of her losses have came by decision. But to Amanda Nunes and Cyborg, I mean, shit, that's awesome.
Right. How crazy. Felicia Spencer, dude. What a dog.
I know, right? Literally. So, to end all of this, I said last week I was close to hitting 100. I got to 99. I'm 50 fights above even here. I'm 99-49 with one loss. Or, I'm sorry, one tie. And then Slim's 87-61-1. I went 7-5 last week. Slim went 5-7, and Slim is down by 12 at this point.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's not even fun for me anymore.
Whatever.
But yeah, that was UFC 250. Me and Slim, like we said, we apologize for the bets. You know, we were swinging for the fences last week. Maybe this week we'll do a little bit something different. But yeah, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves last week.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell everyone how much you lost.
I lost $1,100. Myself, though, I lost $200.
So did I.
Myers lost $200. The whole fam lost $100. Taylor lost $50. Taylor's mom lost $50. Jack lost $50. Ashley lost
$50. Ugh.
Ronnie lost $50.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
Yeesh.
The love of gambling, though, yeah.
Right. All right, well, next week we are going... next week, fucking Saturday, we are going into this fight card. It is Jessica Ai versus Cynthia Calvillo, also
and
at the Apex.
We can't wait to preview it for you guys after this break.
Right. Bang, dang, bang, dang, bang, dang, 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 dang. We're back. Found out over the break, apparently Ray Borg is out of the fight because something is wrong with his kid again.
Oh, fuck, dude.
That's
the last thing I wanted to hear.
That kid has the fucking most unlucky 2 years on this planet I've ever seen.
Jeez.
How many surgeries now? Like, God.
Time for the official ANA MMA Monty Snack Report. Today we're doing... Flamin' Hot Pepper Puffs.
Is that a Peruvian puff pepper? What is the shape of that?
It's like a pepper.
Looks like a calzone.
It reminds me a lot of the, you remember the, like, Flamin' Hot Meteors?
No.
They serve them in, like, the almost, like, Pringles cup type.
Oh, thing. Yeah.
Kind of what they taste like. Not the hottest ever.
No? Eating them like a champ? I had some, I went to La Loma last week and got some queso Lays.
Great decision.
Pretty fire, not gonna lie. They tasted almost like a sharp cheddar.
Huh.
It was cool.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it was good. All right. For the snack report. oh, dude, I bought so many of those fucking P3 Power Pack things.
Yeah, Donald Cerrone sold you on those?
Yeah.
What was he doing? Going fucking door to door selling P3s?
Hey, I'm the guy who got knocked out by Conor McGregor in 20 seconds. I'd like to sell you this pack of turkey
meat
and cheese. Do you like pistachios, son? How about putting some of these nuts in your mouth?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. All right. Enough of the tomfoolery. We All got right,
so,
this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to say it's a weak-ass fight card.
Literally, I'm just going to come out and say it right now. This is one of, since ANA MMA began in what, like 20, what was it, 2017, 2018?
Yeah.
This is going to be the one that comes to mind for worst fight card maybe ever.
I mean, it's not even...
It's a stinker.
Like even fights that people are like, well, it's not the most exciting card. Like, there's not even any name value on this at all.
None.
Like, there is one fight I want to see, and that's Carl Robertson and Marvin Vettori, just because Marvin had all that beef with him in the hotel.
Yeah, right.
Like, as a hardcore fan, I can't get into this fight card.
I mean, I'm going to be watching every fight, but, like, ugh.
I smell a lot of decisions.
What a stinker. Seriously. Yeah, and I agree with that, Slim.
Well,
all right.
Let's get into
this fucking shithole. So we're starting out in the welterweight division. So last week, Ian Heinisch, we didn't get to report on this, Ian Heinisch actually pulled out of the fight temporarily because his cornerman apparently had a positive COVID-19 test. Came back that was a false negative, or a false positive, I'm sorry, that he actually wasn't positive for COVID-19, and they put Ian Heinisch right back on the card. Slim, with joke of the week, said he made it out of the gulag. That was fire.
But oops.
I gotta give you that one. But he was temporarily replaced by this man here, Anthony Aquaman Ivy, who was supposed to make his UFC debut against a tough Gerald Meerschaert. Well, didn't happen. Now he gets to fight this week against is this a short notice fight for
Christian Aguilera?
No, he's all right. No, it's not a short notice fight. Anyways, though, looking at the tail of the tape for this one, Christian Dat Beast Aguilera is 28. Anthony Ivy, 30 years old. Ivy will have the 3-inch height advantage, or I'm sorry, 5-inch height advantage.
Yeah.
And a 3-inch reach advantage.
Both fighters are making their debut, too.
Yeah, Christian Aguilera training out of Team Oyama and Anthony Ivy out of Brazilian Top Team Texas. And what do you got on their current records and their recent form, Slim?
So, Christian Aguilera is 13-6 overall. Anthony Ivy is 8-2 overall. Aguilera recently... is on a 2-fight win streak, one in the LFA and one in Celtic Gladiator, but he was on a 2-fight losing streak before that. Ivy, however, 5-fight win streak for him, all finishes.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one, dude, because both of these guys are finishers. Of Aguilera's 13 wins, 10 knockouts, 3 decisions, so, I mean, he's a stoppage
He
fighter.
Beat Anthony Hernandez.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big win. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, his knockout power is crazy. But Anthony Ivy, of his 8 wins, all of them have came by stoppage. 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted twice, which is not a big deal because Aguilera's never won a fight by submission, like I said. And I think to his advantage, Aguilera, of his 6 losses, 4 of them have came by knockout.
Wow.
With two decision losses, yeah. Anthony Ivey, also slim, a third degree Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt.
Ooh.
Third degree.
I like that.
That's crazy.
And the man just wants to use his hands most of the time.
Right. So looking at the odds in this one, Anthony Ivey is currently the minus 190 favorite over the plus 150 Christian Aguilera. I really like Anthony Ivey in this one. I'm going to be taking him on some parlays. Give me Anthony Ivey in his UFC debut.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Anthony Ivey to defeat Christian Aguilera. And moving on to the 145-pound featherweight division.
We have Jordan Griffin taking on Derek Minor.
Yeah, so this is a really good one because Derek Minor, who did he fight in his last one? It was like his like regional rival that they finally got to fight in the UFC.
Grant Dawson?
Yeah, that's who it was. And then Jordan Griffin, he's been on, like, he started his UFC career out a little bit rough, but his last win was huge, man. He showed how just dangerous he is at all times. Both of these guys are 30 years old. Jordan Griffin is 3 inches taller than Derek Minner, and he'll also have a 3-inch reach advantage. Derek Minner training out of Premier Combat Center, and Jordan Griffin training out of Rufus Sport. What do you got on their recent forms and their records, Slim?
So Derek Minner is 24-11 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. Jordan Griffin, 18-7 overall, 1-2 in the UFC. Griffin, as you said, got that nice choke in his last fight against TJ Brown after his two losses to start off his UFC career. However, Derek Minner coming off a loss against Grant Dawson by rear naked choke, and he actually had two shots on Dana White's contender. No, I lied. He lost against Herbert Burns on the contender series and then won two on the regional scene before getting back into the UFC.
Nice. Also, Slim, I think of note, these two actually fought back in 2018 in the LFA where Jordan Griffin defeated Derek Minner by an armbar in round two.
Oh, that he did.
Looking at their wins and losses, Derek Minner, extremely dangerous on the ground. He only has one career knockout, four career decision victories, but 21 career submissions.
Wow.
I mean, that's Gerald Meerschaert-esque right there. But Jordan Griffin, like we mentioned, he's dangerous on the ground as well. He's got five knockouts, nine submissions, four decision wins. He has been submitted twice and knocked out once with four decision losses, but Minner, he's got most of his wins by submission, most of his losses, 8 of his 11, that being, coming by submission.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Literally. So, stats-wise, it'll be Minner who has most of the significant striking stat advantages. Not by much on most of them. It's pretty close. And then grappling, he'll have the takedown advantage, takedown accuracy advantage, very slight takedown defense average going in favor to Jordan Griffin, and then more submissions for Derek Minner. But I think, you know, 2 years ago, that isn't too long ago, Jordan Griffin, really impressive in his last fight. Derek Minner, I thought he was good. He fought a really tough fighter in Grant Dawson, but I don't know, man. Jordan Griffin's just so dangerous, man. Every time he goes out there, I feel like he could possibly get a stoppage. So I'm going to go with Jordan Griffin in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the native psycho, Jordan Griffin. Moving on to the flyweight division.
Yeah, we have Tyson Nam taking on last-minute replacement Zaruk Adashev.
Nice, Slim. So, yeah, it was only four. It's going to be a four-day notice when they do fight for Zaruk the Lion Adashev. Tyson Nam was originally supposed to fight Ryan Benoit. You said that earlier. So looking at the tail of the tape, Tyson Nam, of course, 36 years old, an older fighter, but he has fought the best in the UFC at those lower division or in the lower weight divisions for only fighting two fights. I mean, crazy.
The top of the top.
Yeah. And then Zaruk the lion Adashev, 27 years old. Nam will have a 2-inch height advantage and a 3.5-inch reach advantage. What do you got on their recent records, Slim, and like who they fought and stuff?
Like who did that? Like what's going on with them? Like just let me know. I don't know. Like you know.
Yeah, Mont Kenzie Dern in this bitch.
Tyson Nam, 18-11-1, 0-2 in the UFC. Adashev, 3-1 overall, making his debut. Tyson Nam, like you said, Kai Car France and Sergio Pettis for his UFC first two fights in the UFC. I mean, crazy. Like
yeah,
that's the toughest of the tests, which he took both fighters to the distance. So props to him for doing that. Adashev, however, no one of name that he beat, but he did fight in Bellator for three fights, two of which were by stoppage. So
he was also 16-3 in Glory Kickboxing.
Oh wow, I like that. And I think this is going to be a stand-up battle because we've seen Tyson Nam. I don't think we've seen him really go to the ground in either of his fights. It was all kickboxing. He just happened to be fighting the two of the best kickboxers in the UFC at that weight. So I think this will be a stand-up affair.
Yeah. I like that kickboxing record for Zarouk. But like we said, Tyson Nam, with that experience advantage against some of the best competition those weight classes have to offer, looking at the odds right now, are they out? They might not be out. They're not out. No odds currently on this fight.
Okay.
Let me see, just to make sure.
4 days notice for Adashev.
Yeah, no odds at all for this fight. I think it's going to stay on the feet, and for that reason, I'm going to give it to Adashev.
Damn it, same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Zarouk, the Lion, Adashev, to defeat Tyson Nam. I hope Tyson Nam does, you know, eventually get a win in the UFC, though.
Right. All right, and to the women's bantamweight division, we have Julia Alva taking on Gina Mazzani.
Julia Avila.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I always want to call her Alva. The Raging Panda.
Looking at the tail of the tape on this one, Gina Mazzani, actually the younger fighter here at 31 years old. Julia Avila is 32. Avila with a 1-inch height advantage and Mazzani with a 1/2-inch reach advantage. Mazzani training out of Extreme Couture and Julia Avila training out of OMA Academy. She hasn't fought for almost a year now, so something to notice or to look at there. She only has 23 days notice till fight. Gina Mazzani only a 9-day notice till fight. What do you got on their recent records and form, Slim?
Gina Mazzani, 6-3 overall. Only 1-3 in the UFC. Avila, however, 7-1 overall. Perfect. 1-0 in the UFC. Avila, her last fight was against Pani Khinzad, which she won in the unanimous decision and was on a 2-fight finish streak before that. Mazzani, however, is also. So she was in the UFC for a while, but then got cut, got a win in King of the Cage, and now she's back, apparently. Tough losses for her, though. She lost against Macy Chaisson, Lena Landsberg, and Sarah McMahon.
Yep.
That's all in the UFC. She only had one win, like I said. But she's looking to get back on track, re-signing in the UFC. Was this short notice for her?
Yeah, 9 days.
Okay, nice.
Looking at their wins and losses, Julia Avila, of her 7 wins, she does have 4 stoppages, 3 of them being knockout, 1 being a submission, and 3 decision wins. Mazzani, of her 6, she has them split evenly throughout. 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, 1 decision. Same with her losses. She has 1 knockout loss, 1 submission loss, 1 decision loss. Avila only got knocked out once, so looking at their stats, it is going to be Mazzani who has the grappling advantage. She actually averages 3.1 takedowns per 15 minutes with a 77% takedown accuracy. So that's pretty good.
But Avila.
Yeah.
I can't say your name. Is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt.
Right. And her striking's really good, too. She holds all striking advantages except accuracy, which isn't too much in favor of Gina Mazzani. But, yeah, only a blue belt there for Mazzani as compared to that brown belt for Avila. Avila is also the biggest favorite on the card. Got to go with that one. Give me the biggest favorite on the card. I'm going with Julia Avila.
What is it?
Minus 500 over the plus 350 Gina Mazzani.
Damn. Yeah, big same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Julia Avila.
So I actually do like...
What? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I actually do like this next fight. It's at lightweight. It is Charles Boston Strong Rosa taking on the Angel of Death, Kevin Aguilar.
Yeah, this is going to actually be a really, really exciting fight here. Looking at their tail of the tape, Kevin, the Angel of Death, Aguilar, 31. Charles Rosa, 33. Rosa will have a 2-inch height advantage at 5'9", and it'll be Aguilar with a 72-inch reach, which is 3 inches longer than Charles Rosa's. Rosa training out of American Top Team. Aguilar training out of Team 515. Charles Rosa just fought 35 days ago. Well, it will be at that point when they fight. And then...
we got whomped on the ground.
Yeah, and then 4 months ago was the last time we saw Aguilar. What do you got on their recent forms and records, Slim?
Kevin Aguilar, 17-3 overall, 2-2 in the UFC. Boston. Charles Rosa, 12-4 overall, 3-4 in the UFC. Rosa, like I said, coming off that loss to Bryce Mitchell where he just got absolutely mollywhopped on the ground. He beat Manny Bermudez by armbar before that. Lost to Shane Burgos in a win of Kyle Bochniak before that. However, Kevin Aguilar is coming off a 2-fight losing streak to Zvira Tugugov and Dan Ige, but he was on a, oh my God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, he was tearing it up.
A 9-fight winning streak before that. So before he ran into two of the best right now, he was killing it. So
yeah, I think in this fight, it's going to be Aguilar who's going to want to keep it on the feet. He does land more per minute. He has a better strike differential, not by much, but he is the much more efficient striker in my mind. I think he's more powerful. Charles Rosa can hold his own, but Charles Rosa is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Kevin Aguilar, only a Brazilian jiu-jitsu purple belt. Aguilar has never been submitted, but that doesn't mean Charles Rosa can't pull something off here. I think Charles Rosa is going to try his best to get this one to the ground and look for that submission. And then when we look at the odds here, Kevin Aguilar is the minus 180 favorite over the plus 140 Charles Rosa. And I do like that one. I got to go with Kevin Aguilar in this one. I think he's going to be able to keep this one on the feet and probably get a decision win.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to take Charles Rosa.
Ooh, ANA MMA going to disagree on this one in the lightweight division. Slim's going with Charles Boston Strong Rosa. I'm going with Kevin Aguilar. Slim's trying to cut that deficit, man. He's getting desperate.
You're right. All right, go on. Moving on to
the featured preliminary card bout.
Interesting. Interesting choice there. But... So we have newcomer Mariah Agapova going up against Hannah Cyphers. Hannah Cyphers returning after that fight against what's her name? Mackenzie Dern only 14 days ago. Maria, however, hasn't fought in almost a year.
Yeah, Agapova is only 23 years old, too. She's a really young fighter. Hannah Cyphers is 27, but this is where it gets big here. Agapova, 5-inch height advantage, Slim. 6.5-inch reach advantage.
Wow.
She trains out of American Top Team with Amanda Nunes in them. And then Hannah Cyphers trains out of Elite Martial Arts Academy. What do you got on their recent record, Slim? Days notice to fight, all that stuff.
Well, I already said those. But Hannah Shockwave Cyphers, 10-5 overall, 2-3 in the UFC. Agapova, however, 8-1 overall, making her UFC debut. Interestingly, Agapova lost against Tracy Cortez on Dana White's Contender Series, which got Tracy Cortez into the UFC. But here we are. She's getting her shot. She got two finishes in Invicta right after she took that L. Hannah Cyphers, however, on a 2-fight losing streak now to Angela Hill and Mackenzie Dern, both by finish.
Yeah, but as we've seen in both of those fights, Hannah Cyphers' striking is very good. Her boxing is
and
great.
She's strong. She's, we saw how strong she was in the clinch against Mackenzie Dern. Even Mackenzie admitted to that.
Yeah. And how when did she fight Angie Hill? How long ago was that?
That was
like, she literally just fought 14 days ago. That shit's crazy.
In
like,
the end of January.
Damn, bro. Hannah Cyphers might fight five times this year.
Right.
Anyways, yeah, looking at how they get it done, Hannah Cyphers, 5 knockouts, 5 decision wins. She's never won by submission. She's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, and lost once by decision. Agapova is a finisher herself. 6 stoppage wins out of her 8 wins. 3 by knockout, 3 by submission. She's never been stopped before. Her only loss was by submission. Or, I'm sorry, to stop. Decision to Tracy Cortez.
I think the biggest difference in this fight is that it's at 125 now.
Yeah, that is pretty big.
Because Hannah, I mean, that height advantage alone is insane.
Right. So, yeah, Agapova, with her talent, man, I think she can be really good in this flyweight division. I got to go with her. I'm going with the young fighter here.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the second biggest favorite on the card.
That was so loud.
Maria Agapova.
Cool.
And that was your featured preliminary bout on the preliminary card, which you can catch on ESPN and ESPN Plus. We're staying on ESPN and ESPN Plus for the main card, which has 5 fights, starting in the bantamweight division.
Yeah, we have Jordan Espinoza going up against Mark De La Rosa.
So looking at the tail of the tape here, Mark De La Rosa, only 25 years old. Jordan Espinoza, 30. Both men are 5'6", and it will be Espinoza who has a 4.5-inch reach advantage. Espinoza is ranked number 12 right now. Mark De La Rosa ranked number 15. De La Rosa trains at a Factory X with Anthony Smith, James Krause, Devontae Smith and them. And funny enough, Jordan Espinoza also trains in James Krause's gym with him, Grant Dawson, and Megan Anderson. So a little James Krause for both of these guys. I wonder if he's going to be extremely neutral on this one.
I don't know.
We'll see. What do you got on their recent records, Slim, form, all that good stuff?
Jordan Espinoza. 14-7-1 no contest, 1-2 in the UFC. Mark De La Rosa, 11-4 overall, 2-4 in the UFC. Jordan Espinoza coming off of 2 L's, 1 by triangle choke and 1 by arm triangle choke in his last 2 fights. He did have a unanimous decision win over Eric Shelton and a round 3 finish over Riley Duto to get his UFC contract. However, Mark De La Rosa on a 3-fight losing streak right now. A lot of the best guys, though, Alex Perez, Kai Car France, and Haulian Paiva, he was on a 2-fight winning streak before that. So,
this one's interesting, Slim, because Mark De La Rosa gets most of his wins by submission. So of his 11 wins, 6 have came by submission, 1 knockout, 4 decision wins. And then on the other hand, Espinoza, he gets a lot of submission wins himself. He has 9 stoppage wins out of his 14 career wins. With 7 of those being by submission, but most of Jordan Espinoza's losses have came by submission. So it's really interesting to see that most of, like, if De La Rosa gets most of his wins by submission, is he going to be able to lock one up here against Espinoza? But when you look at the striking and grappling stats, every single one is in favor of Jordan Espinoza. And that scares me, man. When I see that, it usually makes me want to go towards that guy. I got to go with just Jordan Espinoza in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jordan Espinoza. Jordan Espinoza to defeat Mark De La Rosa. And, yeah. And moving on to the next bout.
This one should be good. We got Andre Touchy-Feely going up against Charles Air Jordan.
Yeah, this is going to be a really, really fun striking matchup here. Looking at the tail of the tape, Charles Jordan, 24. Andre Feely, 29, but Feely will have a 2-inch reach advantage, or I'm sorry, a 2-inch height advantage and a 5-inch reach advantage. Training out of Canada is Charles Jordan and Andre Feely, training out of Team Alpha Male. What do you got on their recent form and their records, Slim? Whenever you're done texting, buddy.
So Touchy Feely is 20-7 overall, 8-6 in the UFC. Air Jordan, 10-2 overall, 1-1 in the UFC. Oh my!
What'd you just call, dude? Air Jordan.
Air Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, my thing didn't open up here. I know Feely is coming off a win in his last fight. And I'm wrong. It was that fight against Sadiq Youssef. That was a pretty close fight. But he was on a two-fight win streak before that against Shaman Rice and Miles Jury. Air Jordan, however, is coming off a win over Duho Choi. Pretty big win for him. Had a loss in his debut, so he is 1-1.
Yeah, looking at how they get it done. Charles Jordan, of his 10 wins, all by stoppage. 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. Extremely dangerous. His 2 losses came by decision. So the longer this fight goes, the more in favor of Andre Feely it's going to be. Feely has 9 knockout wins, 3 submission wins, and 8 decision wins for his 20 career dubs. He has been knocked out before twice. He's been submitted twice, and he's lost 3 decisions. So striking, very close on the feet, I think. And then grappling, Team Alpha Male, got to give it to Andre Feely. He averages almost 2.5 takedowns per 15 minutes. He has great takedown accuracy, great takedown defense. I think that's his route to win this one, Andre Feely. He is actually getting this one on the ground and controlling it that way. He's currently sitting as the 3rd biggest favorite on the card at minus 230, and I got to go with him, man. I think that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to control this one with top control and get the decision win.
Feely?
Yeah.
Yes, same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Andre Touchy Feely to defeat Charles Jordan. Moving on to the bantamweight division, and as we mentioned earlier, Mirab Dvalishvili will be taking on a substitute fighter on extremely short notice, Gustavo Lopez, who is 11-4 overall, making his UFC debut in a really big spot here. He's fought in the Combate Americas, King of the Cage. He's fought some good competition, so no pushover, but man, he's going up against Mirab Dvalishvili.
Yeah, and we saw what Mirab did in his last fight out, the 10-4 fighter on a 3-fight winning streak in the UFC right now, 3-5 in the UFC. We saw what he did to Casey Kenney. Absolutely battered him. I mean, bell to bell. Nasty.
Bro, in 15 minutes of competition, or per 15 minutes of competition, 7.8 takedowns.
Jeez. Man, don't
that
stop.
Is stupid, bro. Man. That is X. That is actually stupid.
Man, don't stop.
He's got to be, once the odds for this fight do come out, he's got to be the biggest favorite on the card, dude. I don't think there's much to talk about on this one. Give me Mirab Dvalishvili.
Yeah, big ol' same.
Good luck to Gustavo Lopez, though, if he comes in and uses his, he has like a Von Flu choke. He's dangerous on the ground. He can pull stuff off. He's got dangerous power. He has a lot of knockout wins. He's got great ground and pound, but, man, I don't know. Dvalishvili's wrestling is just some of the best in that division, if not the best.
Right.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Mirab Dvalishvili to defeat Gustavo Lopez. Moving on to the co-main event of the evening.
Like I said, this is the one that I am looking forward to on this card. We got Marvin Vettori going against Baby K Carl Robertson. A lot of beef in their last fight since Robertson pulled out due to weight-cutting-related injuries. And Vettori couldn't find a replacement the day of, so they kind of had to cut him from the card. So,
yeah, Vettori, 26, Robertson, 29. Robertson will have 1-inch height advantage, and both men have a 74-inch reach. They both fought roughly, Vettori, it was 8 months ago. Robertson, it was 7 months ago. And then what do you got on their records and recent form, Slim?
So Robertson, 9-2 overall, 4-2 in the UFC. Marvin Vettori, 14-4-1 overall, 4-2-1 in the UFC. Very even on those fronts. Baby K is on a 2-fight winning streak right now. Rear naked choke over Roman Kopylov in his last one. Marvin Vettori hasn't lost since that L to Israel Adesanya back in 2018. Took a year off for some USADA bullshit. Came back and beat Cesar Ferreira and Andrew Sanchez in dominant fashion.
Yeah, looking at how they get it done. So Vettori, most of his wins, he's got 10 stoppage wins of his 14 career victories. 8 of those coming by submission, which is interesting because Robertson, his 2 career losses have came by submission. So a clear route to victory for Vettori there. And Robertson, he's got dangerous knockout power. Most of his wins, though, have actually came by submission. So he's a dangerous submission artist himself. He might have, I think he has a striking advantage. It might be a little bit slight, But I do think Robertson will have the striking advantage. But if this one goes to the ground, dude, Vettori can sync something up and get a stoppage victory. And that's honestly what I'm expecting. I think Vettori wins this one by submission.
I agree.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the Italian Dream. Or is that what it is? Yeah, the Italian Dream. Marvin Vettori to defeat Baby K, Carl Robertson. All right. Moving on to the worst main event in recent memory.
Yeah, this one's interesting. Jessica Evil Eye going up against Cynthia Calvillo. Cynthia Calvillo, since she failed to make weight in her last fight against Marina Rodriguez, missed it by 5 pounds. She's making the jump up to 125 pounds, where I believe Jessica is like the number two contender or something like that. Maybe number one.
Something like that.
Let me look at these rankings real quick. Jessica is the number one contender. So big challenge, or big stakes on the line here for Cynthia Calvillo. If she can beat Jessica Eye, she jumps her name right up there in the top five. So,
yeah. Looking at the tail of the tape, Jessica Evil Eye, the hometown girl, 33 years old, Cynthia Calvillo, 32. Jessica will have the 2-inch height advantage, 2-inch reach advantage. Jessica is out there training in Las Vegas. She's doing time with Extreme Couture right now. She's ranked number one, like Slim said. And then Cynthia Calvillo, ranked number 10 at 115 pounds, training out of AKA with Khabib, DC, Cain Velasquez, and them. What do you got on their recent form and record, Slim?
Jessica, I think you already mentioned the form. No. Jessica Eye, 15-7-1 no contest, 5-6 in the UFC. Calvillo, 8-1-1, 5-1-1 in the UFC. I did mention that Cynthia Calvillo fought to a decision in her last fight. She was on a 2-fight win streak before that. Something went wrong in the weight cut, so be it. Jessica Eye got a win over Viviana Araujo back in December after suffering that devastating knockout loss to Valentina. Yeah, proving that she can still get fights at 125. She just can't beat Valentina, you know?
Yeah, Valentina's, like, literally so crazy good, it's not even fair, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Jessica is definitely one of the best 125-pounders in the world, but we're going to see if Cynthia Calvillo can put that weight on and come up here and test one of the best, because when you look at their stats, pretty much everything is in favor of Calvillo. Jessica absorbs barely less per minute for strikes, and Jessica does have better takedown accuracy. But we're going to have to see how her takedown defense is holding up, because it's going to be Cynthia Calvillo who's going to be looking to get this one on the ground, control from the top, use her ground and pound, look for submissions. That's typically what she does every single fight. She just uses that pretty dominant grappling she has.
Right.
So looking at the odds on this one, it is currently even, minus 110, pick 'em. I hate to do it. Jessica Eye is the girl, hometown girl, but I gotta go with Cynthia on this one, dude.
Fuck it, I'll take Evil Eye.
Nice! Nice, that's what's up. I like that. I like that pick. I have nothing bad to say about that pick at all.
Hell yeah.
So Slim is going with Evil Eye, the hometown, Rootstown girl, Jessica Eye. I'm going with Cynthia Calvillo making her 125-pound debut. We'll see how it goes. Slim and I only disagreed on two fights this card. I'm going to review them all real quick. Slim and I are both going with Anthony Ivey to defeat Christian Aguilera in the welterweight division. Both going with Jordan Griffin to defeat Derek Minner in the featherweight division. Both going with Zaruk Adeshev to defeat Tyson Nam in the flyweight division. Both going with Julia Avila to defeat Gina Mazzani in the women's bantamweight division. We disagreed in the lightweight division. Slim's going with Charles Rosa. I'm going with Kevin Aguilar. We're both going with Maria Agapova to defeat Hannah Cyphers in the women's flyweight division. That's the preliminary card. Main card, we're both going with Jordan Espinoza to defeat Mark De La Rosa in the bantamweight division. Both going with Andre Feely to defeat Charles Jordan in the featherweight division. Both going with Mirab Dvalishvili to defeat Gustavo Lopez in the bantamweight division. Both going with Marvin Vettori to defeat Carl Robertson in the middleweight division. And a disagreement in the main event, which I love. Slim's going with Jessica Eye. I'm going with Cynthia Calvillo.
Yes, sir.
And that is going to be UFC Fight Night. I versus Calvillo, also known as UFC Fight Night 172, or UFC on ESPN Plus 30.
Or UFC at the Apex 2.
Yeah, UFC Apex 2.
Apex down. Super I don't cool. know. Like, I like the small cage, you know? I don't know. It lets me get my takedowns a little easier, you know? I don't know.
That shit is so silly. But yeah, that's your preview there. Good luck, you guys. Slim and I don't have any parlay bets for you right now.
Nah, don't listen to us. But
yeah, just go shoot. With your own gut on that one.
Yeah, because these are all kind of up in the air, for real.
But I do like Cynthia Calvillo as a -110. That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Damn, there's not any other. Slim likes Charles Rosa at +140. That's not a bad one. Hannah Cyphers might not be bad at +205.
Yeah.
I might throw her on a couple. Charles Jordan at least a decision. +180 might not be bad, you know, so we'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, that was our preview for that. We will be back with you guys next week to let you guys know how all this went. We wish you guys luck on money, all that. Shout out to my little black and white cat, Spyro. Super fucking just cuddly and cute.
This has been episode 113, Bukkake. What did I call it? Bukkake sauce.
We'll see how long we can get away with this one.
All right. We'll see y'all. Yeah, but if we don't get canceled because of the name of the episode, we'll see y'all next week.
See you next week.